hypothetically, if you won the championship, have you thought about what you'd do with the trophy?
No. I definitely have not really, I have not thought about winning at all. Just trying to focus on the task at hand, and it's just got to win the race before you can win the championship. So, no, I mean, every time I think about winning, I lose. So I got to, focus on the race first.
So why do you think you're in the best position to win the championship?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm in the best position to win the championship because our cars have been extremely fast week in and week out, and I feel like I've got the best team out of the four. So I definitely like our chances. I mean, my answer for that is going to be completely different than what I feel like all you guys are going to say. But, you know, I've always been a traditional racer growing up. So I guess for me, I would rather have a whole season champion and go off cumulative points.
Cool. Thank you.
You talked about throughout the year, you've been trying to build on this organization, build on your stock value. I asked this question to Truex last year about being the dark horse of the underdog. You feel like you're not due to the consistency you've built this year, especially the breakout year you've had?
Do you not think
in terms of you don't see yourself as the dark horse at all?
Not really. I mean, I think that I am capable, just as capable as the other three of winning. So, there's a lot that goes into it, and it's one race, and whoever performs the best for that one race is going to be a champion.
I can think of a handful of moments to choose from this year, but from your perspective, what would you say is one that's really defined your season to where you knew that you were going to be a championship contender?
I don't know. I guess even early on in the season, I felt like we had the performance to be a championship contender, but that's still a long way away. And then, I guess the defining moment for me would be Charlotte Road Course, just being down and out and then performing our best when it matters most at the end of that race. So, I think that really says a lot about our team, because it would have been very easy to give up going into the Roval, which we knew was not going to be a great race for us. And as it turned out, it was not a great race. You know, we were a back half of the top 10 car, but the yellow flag came out and we were able to perform how we needed to perform to win.
You're racing for a cup championship. What goes through your mind when you hear something like that?
Just really, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's quite sank in yet that the opportunity is in front of me. So just got to go out there and do our jobs. And I just got asked a couple minutes ago about if I thought about winning, and the answer is no, I have not thought about winning, just trying to focus on being the best out of the four this weekend.
Any advice from your teammates? Because two of the three of them have championships, and Denny's been in a lot of Final Fours. So.
I haven't heard from them yet. Kurt Busch actually reached out to me. That was very thoughtful of him, and a guy that I respected tons. And he is kind of a teammate, I guess, in the Toyota household, so that's cool. My three teammates at JGR obviously are still racing and competitive. They're trying to win a race this weekend too. So it doesn't shock me that I haven't heard from them.
What sort of advice did Kurt give you?
He just, I don't know. He just, he's been a somewhat of a mentor to me, and he told me to enjoy the moment and, don't choke.
If you were a second behind on the final lap at Phoenix, would you entertain the idea of doing what Ross did last weekend on the final lap?
If NASCAR does not put a rule in place or police wall riding, I think that will open up a huge, huge can of worms, and I think that all four of us will do whatever it takes to win a championship.
You obviously have Adam calling the shots for you. How needs to have somebody that's been in that scenario and won a championship, well, obviously with Kyle a couple years back.
Yeah, Adam is he's a genius. He's the reason why we're here for sure. So, I believe that we have the best team, and that stems from Adam.
What do you feel
I mean, I think that just car performance and car seeing who has the best car and you know, that's gonna be a huge part in who becomes the champion. So we'll learn that tomorrow evening in practice.
Yeah, we've seen in past championships like the final pit stop or the final adjustment is what made the champion. So does that give you pressure, or do you feel that gives more pressure on your crew chief, or you're just like, I'm gonna find out in the last five laps kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean that's not my job, right? So my job is to focus on producing lap time whenever the green flag drops. And I guess, you know, rolling down pit road, making sure I don't speed, get in my box hard, hit my marks whenever I stop. But, you know, the only thing that I can control I have the most control over is producing lap time whenever the green flag drops and passing cars if I need to pass cars. So, you know, pit stops, the adjustments, that's out of my control. And I have all the faith in the world that my pit crew and my crew chief will, you know, make the right adjustments and perform well on pit road. That's a great question, and I think a lot of it is just the caliber of people that we have on this 20 group. You know, thinking of Adam Stevens, William, and Tyler, my engineers, my mechanics that work on this car. I mean, it would have been so easy for them to give up and just not put in the effort going into those races whenever we were behind, but they did not give up, and they put their best foot forward and allowed us to execute on the races that we needed the most. So it just all goes back to people, and I do feel that I have the best people in the garage.
And what do you feel like momentum is actually something that carries over week to week?
I mean, a little bit, but, you know, looking at, I should be the one that says no, because my momentum has gone, you know, up, and I have had no momentum, right? Like, I won or was great through the round of 16, and then it all got taken away in one race in the at Texas whenever we had the two flat tires. And then felt like I got momentum back at Charlotte Road Course, and then we go to Vegas, and 40 laps later, whatever it was, I get crashed out. So I don't really think momentum will play a key in it.
Your crew chief, Adam Stevens, is two-time champion, only active multi-time crew chief. Is he leaning on him? Is he giving you any advice? He's been through this many times, and he's well-versed.
Yeah, I haven't really, you know, this week has been very similar to every other week throughout the regular season, so it'll be interesting to see if that changes. You know, whenever we get at track on Friday, Saturday, we have an actual real practice session this week. So this week has been very normal and nothing out of the ordinary compared to any other week, but it'll be interesting to see if that changes.
Is there anything you're kind of hoping may pick his brain about of how this weekend may unfold? Because this is old hat for him and new for you.
I mean, not really. It's the same old, same old. So hopefully we go and we have a great practice on Friday. And, you know, I just hope we're really competitive, which I expect we will be. And, you know, it's still a practice session, a qualifying session, and a race, just like every other week.
Is Adam overlooked at all? It seems like people have almost maybe some people forgotten how good he is since he's been paired with you, because he gets taken off of the 18. And like Jordan said, I mean, he's an active two-time champion. Have people forgotten that?
Well, I think that's maybe has a lot to do with my role. You know, nobody really realizes I drive race cars for a living, I think, for the most part. So you know, and I embrace that role. That's what I, you know, I guess I don't do anything else to, you know, advocate myself or anything like that. So anytime it seems like people are teamed up with me, they're off the radar.
But he's made calls the last couple races that have helped put you in position for you to do your job, so that comes with, again, his experience and his skill of tough.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best guy for sure. So I'm very grateful to be driving for him, and I'm fully aware that I have the right guy on the pit box, absolutely.
Do you really think you're that obscure?
Yeah, I do.
How come?
I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just kind of been the way that it's unfolded over my, I don't really know how long, but, you know, it's fine. That's fine by me, and maybe I'll be the least famous cup champion one day.
How many times have you watched the Ross Chastain last lap Hail Melon pass?
I mean, yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it for sure.
You know, something you need, like, watch. Cause a lot of people talk about they just kept watching it over and over again. I don't know if that was part of you or
no.
kind of overshadowed by that move? Kind of losing momentum here?
I mean, it was, but it doesn't surprise me.
Are you okay with that, or is that something you kind of just
like? No, I'm completely okay with that. It means that I had a way less busy week this week than he did.
What have your emotions been like this week, knowing the fact that this weekend you get to compete for your first cup title?
It's been very... trying to think of a good word to describe it. It's been very rewarding. You know, this is a moment that I never thought would be a possibility. And as a kid growing up, I never thought that I would be contending for a cup championship. So just trying to soak it all in and make sure that I'm ready to perform my best on Sunday.
How the last two rounds went for you, Christopher? You were up, you were down, came back up again. Are you exhausted at this point, or do you still have adrenaline to get through this weekend?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm fired up. And you know, it's so funny because after the first round, I was really, really excited and just loving racing at that moment. And then we went to Texas and Talladega, and I was ready for off season. You know, I was ready for a break and just ready to put racing on the back burner and then back up to the top and then right back down to the bottom again. So it's been a whirlwind of emotions, and we've got one race left, and I'm going to do my best to make the most of it. Yeah, so what does it take to run well here? Well, number one, it takes a great race car. And I've driving for Joe Gibbs Racing. I don't know if there's another team that's been more successful here than Joe Gibbs Racing. So that's a great, great feather in my cap, I think. I got the right people behind me. And, yeah, I mean, it seems like there's a really big toss-up between short run, long run at Phoenix, similar to other places, but Phoenix is a very important one because it is so different. So trying to get that right, and you know, it's a little bit of luck of the draw. You know, you can very easily change your setup to be good on the long run and struggle on the short run, and then if you get a caution at the end, you know, it's all for naught. So just have to see if the race plays out for us.
Kind of Kelly's question, but the emotional whirlwind, like, how have you experienced something like that before?
I have never in my life experienced anything like that. You know, just the absolute lowest of lows to the highest of highs in at Charlotte Road Course, a matter of minutes from thinking the race is over to the yellow flag coming out and winning the race. So just, yeah, it was definitely an extreme high at the Charlotte Road Course, and definitely extreme low at Vegas whenever I crashed out.
And when Ad was making some of these calls, obviously you trust his instinct and his call, but in the back of your mind, are you like kind of questioning it because he's putting you in a difficult position?
No, I never question him. Even at Martinsville, whenever we pitted for tires and I ended up, I think I restarted sixth, I felt a lot better at winning at the road course whenever I was 12th with tires than I did at Martinsville. I thought that one was going to be a lot harder, but, you know, I never questioned him, and that's his job, you know, and I think that's one thing that we do really well is he lets me do my job and I let him do his job.
You talk about emotions. You're really emotional getting out of the car in Martinsville. You thanked your parents first and foremost, before you say anything else. What was your first opportunity to talk to them? What was their reaction? And I'm assuming they're going to be here this weekend.
Yeah, they will be. And, you know, I told them that whenever we made the round of eight, I said if we make it to Phoenix, then I'll bring them out here. So they get to come this weekend. It will be a really cool deal. But, you know, the emotion stemmed from the fact that they believed in me after Vegas. They believed in me after Homestead whenever I didn't believe in myself. You know, I thought it was over. And, you know, they kept telling me, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. And that's what it stemmed from whenever I said we did it, because they believed in me to make it, even whenever I didn't think it was going to happen. And by golly, we did it, and I get to talk to you.
Still live in Oklahoma?
Yeah, they're in Oklahoma.
Do you go back to some of the emotions with your mom and dad, with these instances, with these wins, where you thought you didn't have a chance? Like, Dad, back when I was 12 years old, said, Christopher, you got this. You're going to get a double when you need a single. Instances like that?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to... ironically, it went pretty similar to that, you know, just them reminiscing about my younger days of racing and them thinking of moments that related to what happened at Martinsville and the Charlotte Road Course and stuff like that. So, you know, they've seen it before for sure.
Chris, given how last year's race played out, with the money stop kind of being the deciding factor. Just talk about a little how big pit road is going to be here, given it's a hard pit road.
Yeah, it's huge. And I think qualifying, while it does not mean a big deal for the race, I think it means a huge deal for pit selection. So winning the pole, actually, I think the way that it works out, just the four, the final four guys will pick first amongst themselves. So being the top qualifier and getting that number one pit stall is going to be a huge advantage.
Could you imagine your life without Toyota Racing in it? Because when you think about, you know, getting to Keith Coons, and it's not quite meteoric, but it's a pretty quick, you know.
Yeah, I mean, could I imagine it without them? I could, and it definitely would not be here today. So I would more so be running sprint cars, or I would assume sprint cars would have been my career path without them. And I am very, very grateful that it worked out to where they took a chance on me. And yeah, I mean, this is the pinnacle, so I'm very thankful.
You're like the poster child for how to do a driver development program the right way.
Yeah, it means a lot to me. It's really cool.
The emotions of Martinsville, where some of the cameras were on you when you got out of the car, but half the other cameras were on Chastain. Did you have any idea what was going on behind you at that moment? And then once you realize what happened, but hold on, guys, I won the race.
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea what was going on. You know, no clue.
Do you feel like any sort of, is there like a validation element to a Cup Series championship, you know, given that it is kind of a, I don't want to say fluky format?
Yeah, it's a different format for sure. And I think that the format has definitely, within the industry, changed the way that champions are viewed. You know, if you look at just using the World of Outlaws, for example, whenever you look at Brad Sweet or Donnie Schatz, there's no doubt that they are the best drivers for that season, right? Where the way that the NASCAR format is, you know, it is a different kind of champion. And, it doesn't take a solid 36 weeks to make a championship. It takes, you know, you got to get in the playoffs, and then you have to perform in the playoffs. So it is a different style championship in the NASCAR.
The fact that Adam has won twice
to validate, you know, at some point, and you're young, but to validate your career and to establish yourself where you are.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really know where to go with that. I guess my answer would be, you know, how do you view Denny Hamlin? Is Denny Hamlin a Hall of Fame driver? Is he as good of a driver as some of the other guys that have champions or championships? And my answer to that would be, yes, he is as good as some guys with championships.
The fact that Adam has won this championship twice under this format, does that give you added confidence?
Sorry, I missed you.
But the fact that Adam has won twice under this format, does that give you added confidence? Because as crazy as it is, like he was saying, he also has, you know, a plan and a strategy and has won at it.
I mean, I don't know. It's just a race. Like, that's the thing about this championship format, is it's one race, and you can hit it or you cannot hit it. Hopefully we get multiple opportunities at it, and this is just my first. But you know, he hit it twice at Homestead, and they won, and he missed it several times at Homestead, and they lost. So, fortunately for Kyle and Adam, they had multiple opportunities at it, and, you know, I hope we hit it this week, but I also hope that this is not my last opportunity at it.
You said earlier that Ross's move right in the wall opens a can of worms, especially going into a championship race. Do you think that NASCAR kind of has to strike down on something like that, especially coming up to the race?
I hope that they do, because I can promise you that it will be used again.
Isn't that why we have the shortcut, though? It's kind of to create a situation like that with the dog leg. Now we have the dog leg and the wall.
The difference is the dog leg is hundredths of a second, and the wall is much, much, much greater than that.
To put a bow on what he was talking about with the way the champions are formed now, the way the championship comes together. Is it arguably easier, though, for stick and ball fans to see it this way, because this is how Super Bowl champions are? You might not be the best in the regular season, but you win the Super Bowl because partially of luck. Is it easier for the guys on the outside looking into motorsports?
That's a great question. I don't know. It definitely makes us more relatable. You know, it used to be called the chase, and now it's the playoffs. So I think it's all been driven this direction to be more relatable to stick and ball fans that want to pay attention to NASCAR in the postseason. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it does make it more relatable.
The new format, like we said, it's fluky, and it's less than a decade old. You're someone who's had a lot of experience when going to the Championship Four and all three of the National Series. You know, what has that experience sort of been like, and sort of how can you use that going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar, and or it is the same. So that experience is invaluable, and I hope that I can lean on that and use that to my advantage on Sunday. Yeah, that was mind blowing. You know, I had no idea that was even up for grabs 5 years ago or 6 years ago. Whenever I went to my first truck Final Four, so that caught me off guard, and that's obviously a really cool stat. Disappointed I didn't win the Xfinity Championship, because I think that one's still up for grabs too. The first to win all three.
Quick question: your wins this year, you kind of went through this last week a little bit. But you've had two real clinch wins. You know, Adam was talking about how you got three wins this season, but you did it twice. Is that more important? Is that more epic in a season like this to make the Final Four and do what you did?
You know, I've always said in my full-time NASCAR career that, you know, the goal is to make the Final Four. And then whenever you get to the Final Four, it's – you know, it's a toss-up, and whoever performs the best that race and or has the best luck, or, you know, you look at Carl Edwards, who didn't win a championship at JGR but was clearly the favorite in that race and clearly the best car, you know, that's heartbreaking. So the goal is to make the Final Four, and then, you know, whatever happens.
So these guys were talking about stick and ball sports. Clutch wins and stick and ball sports stick out in people's minds. How do you hold that in your mind, you know, this season, next season, and into your long career going in NASCAR?
Yeah, I'm sure that those two wins at Charlotte Road Course and Martinsville are going to be very high on my win list for a long time to come.
Are those back against the wall, have to win, are those more exhausting, more draining, or do you think you're just thriving and gives you more energy?
I love it. I eat it up, and, you know, I thrive on pressure. You know, the more pressure that you can put on a situation, that seems like the better I perform.
So next year you should treat like every weekend like it's a elimination race, right?
Yes, but with that being said, you know, a lot of people have asked me if I treat this weekend different than any other weekend, and I go back to, if I do treat this weekend different than any other weekend, that simply means that I wasn't doing my job, you know, on week 5, 6, 7, because it's not like I want to win this race any more than I did at Dover or Charlotte in the spring. Do I remember that? I guess so. I mean, I remember just being super nervous about the situation and not wanting to drive. But then as soon as I got in, I fell in love with it.
And they talked about it was a laser focus from an early age. It's like, this is what I want to do in your destiny. I want to be a race car driver. So maybe I'd have a plan B. No, there's no plan B type.
Yeah, I decided pretty early on that I was going to, you know, sacrifice my lifestyle to be a race car driver, whether that was a hobby stock driver, a sprint car driver, or a NASCAR driver.
You, after the race, said, we did it, Mom and Dad. And, you know, truthfully, you do a really good job of kind of keeping your emotions a lot of times to yourself, or keeping more even keel. I certainly saw a little bit more out of that. What have they meant in helping get into your car? I know a lot of people have helped you through the years beyond your family, but just what they did at the beginning and all the salesmanship your dad did, getting all that sponsorship he was talking about for your cars.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that hit me in that moment whenever I won at Martinsville was, you know, they kept telling me I was going to do it. You're going to make Phoenix. You're going to make the Final Four. And that was after the Vegas crash, after we got out of Homestead and our back was against the wall. You know, I remember talking to my mom and dad, and they said that they think I'm going to do it. And so whenever I won the race, you know, that was the only thing that I could think of was my mom and dad was right, and we did it. We made the final four.
And, you know, I know you've talked about being up, the ups and downs. I mean, how much convincing did you need from them, or how much did it mean for them? I mean, your parents are always going to say that, but still to be able to hear that.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. I mean, in the moment, whenever they're telling you that and you're 33 points behind the cut line, you know, it's pretty much in one ear, out the other ear. But they believed in me, even whenever I didn't really think that it was possible for us to make it. They thought that we would, and we did.
How many times do they get to go to the races? I mean, I know they'll be here this weekend, but I'm guessing they probably don't get to be
in yeah.
these races with you that often, so how special is this weekend?
It's going to be very special, and I remember they were at, both of them were at Homestead whenever I won the Truck Series Championship. So, you know, they only get to go to two or three races a year, and I'm glad that they get to come to this one.
We spoke just before the Vegas race, and we were talking about clutch performances, and you said your strategy for the round of eight was to keep it cool and calm and collected.
That didn't work out, did it?
It didn't work out so well. You did say you didn't want to be in this position at Martinsville, and then now you're here. So, you know, does that give you some extra confidence for this weekend when you can perform under pressure?
You know, I don't know. I've always believed in myself in those positions, and so it's not like that, it's not like those two races changed my perspective on how I would perform under pressure. That's you know, not the truth. But the round of eight did not go how I wanted it to go, but you know, looking back at it, it's going to be something that I remember for a long time.
That ability to perform under pressure gives you an edge this weekend?
I think so, but I think everyone at the top level of motorsports is here for a reason, and they do a good job.
Christopher, you came in, if you win on Sunday, you'd be the lowest seed in the stage racing era to start the playoffs to win the championship. What does that maybe say about the stage point deficit that you came out of to start it with, and then now that you've been able to overcome that and potentially win the championship on Sunday?
Yeah, that's a cool stat for sure, but you know, next year I hope I'm not in that position and I'm able to be a little bit seated up further anyway. So I'm excited about it, and hopefully it comes together, but if not, we'll go back next year and try to not be that low seed.